We will be returning to the seventh chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. We're very close to the end of the Sermon on the Mount, but we will not finish today, but we are very close. Next year, maybe. Good call, Randy. Father God, as we do open your word and we consider these precious words, your word, the very words of Christ, may we consider how they have or should or will change us. May we consider what Jesus said about living and begin to live that way, or to further live that way, or to want to live that way and begin to find out how. Lord, bless us through your word this morning. Speak to us. Teach us. May your Holy Spirit illuminate this word for us. In Jesus' name, amen. So Matthew 7, the last couple of verses, 28 and 29. And of course, the context for this is the entire Sermon on the Mount. The entire sermon are the words that are being referred to here. The first words that weren't Jesus' words directly, but those written about him that we've talked about in a long, long time. And it says this, when Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. And we should consider that last phrase for a moment. These are people who had been taught. They were not all unlearned people. And there were teachers there in the crowd, and they had been taught by other teachers. And now they're hearing something. Truth is ringing in their ears. Authority is becoming clear. As they hear these words of Jesus. And what a change it was from the things they had been taught. If we were to go back again through these three chapters, Jesus teaching what it is really like to be blessed. Jesus teaching what our role in the world is to actually be. Jesus correcting what they have heard taught in the law and what they should have known and what they should have been teaching. Jesus teaching about ourselves and our relationship with others, with God, and with ourselves as he talked about giving and prayer and fasting. His teaching on judgment and on asking and approaching God. And then finally, these narrow roads, the good fruit that comes from good trees, all these things that Jesus had been teaching about how people should live, the correct way to live. But then the last few things he said really brought this point home. I'm sure it was ringing as true before this, but then Jesus turned from these general statements to himself. As he said, on that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord. So if they hadn't caught it at that point, who he was saying that he was saying, I'm going to be the one standing there on the day of judgment before whom you will come. And then he says, whoever listens to these words of mine and does what I say is like the wise man who built his house upon the rock. He is saying, I have the truth. I have given you the truth. This is the way. And the people were amazed because he taught as one who had authority. And Jesus went from this teaching to live a life of authority. and to die a death of authority. He showed what it was like to be a leader. He showed it through boldness, and he showed it through humility. He showed it through his life, and he showed it through his death, and he showed it through his resurrection. And then he gathered them one more time on a hillside, many of whom had been with Jesus during the Sermon on the Mount, and many of those had never followed or did not follow to this point. But just before his ascension, he gathered with them, and he said these words, which are the most oft-repeated words probably at Three Stones Church. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And I hope you're hearing the parallel between these words and the words from the Sermon on the Mount. Those who hear what I say and do what I say, now, he's telling the crowd that in the Sermon on the Mount, you need to hear what I'm saying and do it. Now he's raised up disciples, and he's telling them, you're to go and tell people to do everything that I've commanded you to do. All authority on heaven and on earth. In other words, all authority. Jesus now has all authority. That which he gave up, willingly stepped aside from, however you look at that, and that's a whole other series of messages, but now he has all authority over everyone, over everything. Right? He had showed some of this authority earlier, right? Over nature, when he walked on water, when he told storms to stop, and they obeyed. He showed it over sickness, when he healed people. He showed it over death when he raised Lazarus. He had authority, but now he has all authority. And then that word that I love, therefore. I have it all, therefore you do this. We do not have the authority that Jesus has, but we have authority. We do not have all authority, but church, we have authority. I don't think they still make those movies where the policeman runs down the street chasing someone, blowing his whistle and yelling what? Stop in the name of the law, right? The policeman is never the law. But he's different than other citizens, right? Because the law has given him authority to do those things. And Jesus has given us, church, authority. We don't have all authority, but we have that authority which Jesus has given us. And we are required then to go and do these things that he has told us to do. To begin living the way he taught us in the Sermon on the Mount, and then to go teaching others, as he said in the Great Commission. We have authority, church. This will sound strange to some of you. We don't have all authority, but in a spiritual sense, not talking about the law, not talking about government, in a spiritual sense, the Church of Jesus Christ has the only authority. We have the only authority. Jesus didn't say, I'm a way, a truth, and a life. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. He gave this authority to his followers and told them to teach others to do as he commanded. No other religious organization, group, religion, sect, cult, none have any authority whatsoever under heaven or on earth. None. Only the Church of Jesus Christ and the local churches that represent Jesus Christ. And we do have authority, and we must speak with the authority that Jesus has given us. I want you to think about Peter in the second chapter of Acts. Peter, who had shown real cowardice when they took Jesus away. We know he had flashes of brilliance before that, but Jesus stood up. I mean, Peter stood up. He didn't just preach. He stood right in the middle of the wolf pack. Men of Israel, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. That's courage, and that's authority. But the same Peter, the authority is not just that boldness and not just that stomping our feet. This is the same Peter who, when someone came, right, looking for a miracle, looking for money, Peter said, silver and gold I have none, but what I have, I give you. And he showed them the love of Christ as he raised him up and allowed him to walk. Stephen, in the book of, the book of Acts should not be called the Acts of the Apostles, as it sometimes is. It should be called the Acts of Jesus, because none of these were the acts that they were capable of doing by themselves. But Stephen stood up as they pulled him before the Sanhedrin, and he gave them the history, their own history. Going back to Abraham and Moses and the prophets and bringing them up to Jesus. And then he said, you stiff-necked people with uncircumcised hearts and ears, you're just like your father. You always resist the Holy Spirit. Now you've betrayed and murdered him. And they stoned Stephen. But as he was dying, he said, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And as many of you know, one of my favorite verses in all Scripture, as he was being stoned to death, beaten literally to death, he said, behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. Sometimes authority brings about change. When Peter preached at Pentecost, sometimes authority brings about further persecution. But they both bring about deliverance into the hands of God. They both bring about Jesus standing and receiving us. And we can go and we can read about Saul, who became Paul. Saul, who was standing there watching, holding their coats for them while they stoned Stephen, who also ended up in jail and beaten and shipwrecked for the name of Jesus. Paul spoke with authority. Church, we must speak with authority. The world needs to hear the authority of the church. You know, we talk about children, right? They're in varying levels of behavior, as we have all experienced as parents. And what do you hear? Oh, they really want structure. They really want rules. They really need rules, right? They may not be able to realize that themselves, but we know at their hearts what they want is stabilization. They want rules. Well, this is what the world needs. They need to know the rules of God in a very loving way. They need to know the love of Christ, but they need to know about Jesus. And that's the whole thing. That's the grace and the truth. That's the Jesus coming and meeting people where they are, regardless of what they've ever done, but also expecting a turnaround, expecting repentance. Who are they going to hear it from if we don't tell them? Church, you have the authority. Jesus said it. I have all authority on heaven and earth. It's been given to me. Therefore, you go and tell and teach. We've got to go and speak with authority regardless of what the outcome will be, whether a suspected outcome or an actual outcome, we have to go and speak the truth. Sometimes we don't speak the truth because we assume we know what the outcome will be. We may be right, we may not. You know, when the rich young man came to Jesus, and Jesus told him the truth, and the young man walked away. We're called to speak the truth, to speak it with authority. We are not called to make conversion. Conversion is the act of the Holy Spirit and the turning of a person's heart. But we are called to speak the truth of Jesus Christ. We are called, commanded to go and speak the truth with authority. When they hear us speak, when people hear us talk, it should not be just other droning on and on. It should not be just another thing that they hear. Instead, they should hear as they have heard from one who has authority, not the same stuff they've always heard. And if we use God's word, we can be convinced that will be true. We can be assured that that will be true. There's a lot of books and programs and CDs and DVDs that you can buy to tell you how to tell people about Jesus. And some of them are good and some of them are less good. And the truth of God's word and the work of the Holy Spirit will trump any of those always and every time. That doesn't mean it's not good to read what other people have said, but the truth of God's word and the Holy Spirit will always trump that, because they will then hear from one who has authority. Not a sales gimmick, not marketing scheme, but the truth. And Paul said it, I don't come with wise words or, you know, trying to convince you. I just come preaching the word of God, who Jesus really is. And if you don't think that's important, just go back and look at the Gospels. You know, sometimes people say, well, the Gospels are records of the life of Jesus. Boy, the Gospels are much more than that. How does Matthew start? Now, remember, or no, if you've not heard it before, Christ is not part of Jesus' name. Christ is his title. Jesus was the name given to him. Christ means the chosen one, the Messiah, the only one who could save. So Matthew opens up by saying, this is the record of the genealogy of Jesus Christ. So Matthew is starting right off saying, this isn't just a book about some guy, some good guy, some great teacher. This is the genealogy of the Son of God. Mark, how does he do it? This is the beginning of the good news about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And starting right off, this is who he is. Luke, because Luke was a little bit wordier, he'd been commissioned by Theophilus to go and find out all this stuff. So he sent Luke the physician to find out, and all this stuff had taken place. Luke, tell me what has happened here. And Luke says, well, many have undertaken to draw up the account, but I've gone to the first eyewitnesses and the servants of the word. And then you probably know how John's gospel starts. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. These first chroniclers of the life of Jesus began their stories by proclaiming Jesus to be the Christ, the one who had the authority to save, the only one ever, past, present, or future, that had the authority to save. And they were proclaiming him from the beginning. And when the apostles went out to preach, that's what they preached. Jesus Christ and him crucified. We don't need anything else. That is the authority with which we speak. So whether it's on a mountaintop in Iraq, whether it's at a local business in Dover, Delaware, whether it's with a bunch of refugees hiding out in a school in Nigeria, or whether it's in a school in one of our local school districts, whether it's in your neighborhood, coworker, family member, or friend, speak with the authority of Jesus Christ. Now know that that also comes with speaking with the love of Christ. Speaking with authority does not mean, you know, beating anyone over the head. It doesn't mean I'm right, you're wrong, that we come across that way. It doesn't mean trying to win an argument. I love that quote from Philip Yancey that no one ever converted to Christianity because they lost an argument. It's speaking the truth in love. It's Paul being, whatever it takes, I'll do whatever it is so that someone may be saved. Hanging out with the jailers, going down to the marketplace in Athens. It's Jesus. Yeah, he turned over the tables in the temple. Somebody sent me a funny little picture this week when you say, what did Jesus do? Or what would Jesus do? You know, the old WWJD thing. Remember, he's the one that turned over the tables in the temple and drove them out with whips. So, but because that occasion called for it. And that's the same Jesus who turned tenderly to the woman who was been bleeding all those years and dealt with her with great compassion. It's a rightful use of authority. It's a loving use of authority. But it's remembering, church, remembering all these things that Jesus said in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. We begin by applying those to our life and never getting there perfectly. Right? That'll come on the other side of glory. But beginning applying those to our lives. And as soon as we start to get a little traction with that, we go and find someone else. And we tell them about Jesus. And we don't just tell them and walk away. We tell them and begin to help them apply those things to their lives. This is no plan. This is no, man-made plan. This is what Jesus said to do. All authority on heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, that therefore was for the 11 who were close to him. It was for the crowd gathered out on the hillside. It was for the people sitting in Three Stones Church this morning and every other church around the world that's meeting in this 24-hour span that we call the Lord's Day. It's for all of us. To hear. To do, to go, and to say. The world needs to hear. They need to know who Jesus is. And you want to know who's supposed to tell them? Pretend this is a mirror. Okay? We're supposed to go. Not responsible for the outcome, but just to be obedient. Some of you may be familiar with the story of Jim Elliot, the missionary, who worked with a group for days. It's a long story. I won't go into all the details, but from an airplane, worked to meet with these Aka Indians that lived in Peru, and they spent days making contact and finally positive contact. And so they landed, and they were going to go on the ground, and they were going to meet. And the next time his companions saw Jim Elliot, he was mutilated by machetes, lying dead on the beach, But his life was not wasted. His life was not wasted. It was Jim Elliot at the ripe old age of 28 years old when he died who said, "It is no fool who gives what he cannot keep." I don't want to get this wrong. "It is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." Whether it's money or pride or vanity or standing or position, rank, whatever, we can't keep any of those things. Will we hold on to them? Will we hold on to those and let go of Jesus? Or will we let go of those and hold on to Jesus and see what he does?